Praise God. Would y'all let the worship team know how much you love them today? They do an awesome job. We don't take that for granted. God's doing big things among us. Amen. Jesus came from a little town. Don't ever discount what God is able to do among us. I just want to say thanks to John Gleason for doing an absolutely phenomenal job building this, setting this up. You'll see him in a minute here. John's right over here. John, wave at everybody. Good looking, handsome man right there. Today's super special because we come to Christ as sinners, but when we bow our knee at the foot of the cross and we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe in my heart that you didn't just die on the cross for my sin, but God then raised you from the dead. And I confess and declare you're Lord of my life. The Bible says he makes us brand new from the inside out, that we are literally born again. Being born again is not something different from salvation. They're one and the same. And so it's exciting today because just like you were born spiritually and we celebrate new babies being born into the earth and we gather with family and we have parties and we welcome their arrival, it's the same. When we're born again, we're doing the same today. And so today is a big celebration. Amen. Can you just give God praise for all the blue shirts, new lives in Christ. And so I just want to take a second and talk to you guys about baptism because of how important it is. And I think there are some things that have been overlooked by especially Protestant Christianity. We've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And even though water baptism is an outward sign of what God's done on the inside of us, there is something extremely spiritually significant about water baptism. It is a sacrament of the church. Another one of those sacraments is communion. Everybody say communion. And to say that water baptism is nothing more than an act is to say that taking communion is nothing more than eating a Lunchable. Right? It's a little grape juice and some crackers. But the reality is when we partake of communion in faith, believing in what Jesus did for us, it is a meal that heals and there's power in it. And it's the same in water baptism. And so here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make what? Make disciples of all the nations, doing what? Baptizing them. He said, I want you to go make disciples. We're in the disciple making business. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the, what do we call those three individuals? The Trinity. That's our God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I, who is the I? Jesus. All things that Jesus has commanded us, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus says, I want you to make disciples. And here's the reality. When we get born again, when we become new, Dave, we become disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's a word maybe you've heard your entire life, but let me just break down for you what a disciple is. A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. How many of you are followers of Jesus? Yeah? You're following Jesus. It's something I do. Jesus called us and he invited us to follow him. Now, if I say, hey, y'all, come follow me, Todd, then you're going to stay right beside me or right behind me. You're going to stay in step with me. And it's going to require you. If I move, you're going to move with me. Well, I thank God today that he's a God that doesn't move backward, Bradley, but he's a God that moves forward. And we ought to move forward with God. And baptism is one of those steps you guys are taking to move forward in your relationship with God. And so being a disciple, Jamie, is about more than a moment. It's about more than a decision. It's about more than just getting dunked in the water today. But it's about coming to a brand new and a better way of doing life, a Christ-centered life, a Christ-first life, a life where Jesus isn't an addition, but Jesus is everything. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need in life shall be added unto you. And so discipleship is this journey that is all about passionately pursuing Jesus Christ. And at Victory Church, we are passionate about Jesus, if you couldn't tell. Amen. How many of you are passionate about living for God? Right? That's why we're unashamed to be loud in God's house. Because if you can't be loud in here, how in the world are you ever going to live it out loud out there? Okay? And so discipleship is this journey. And here's the reality. The more I know, the more I grow. And that's why coming and being taught what Jesus taught is critical in our walk with Christ. Because I'm living to learn Christ and I'm learning to live Christ. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my followers. You're my disciples indeed. And so discipleship happens through this, the word of God. And that means that discipleship is this intensely personal activity of people helping each other to experience a growing relationship with God. And that's what Victory Church is all about. We're here to help people experience and encounter the love of God in a very real way in their life so that you can find freedom and discover your purpose and make a difference in the earth. And that's why we're here. That's why we exist. Many people who were far from God or thought they were far from God, what they found out, Lisa, was they weren't nearly as far from God as they thought after calling on the name of Jesus. We had one individual already get saved this morning in the lobby. Can you give God praise for that young man? Had another one get saved between services last week in office. Can you give God praise for that one? And let me just say that last Sunday was amazing, by the way, and the testimonies that have come back and people receiving breakthroughs. And I had one awesome lady come to me before service this morning. She said, this has been a great week. And last week, God gave her a breakthrough in her life. Can you give God praise for breakthroughs? So let's talk about baptism. Baptism, Jesus said this in Mark 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is very simply the good news that Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died for you, for your sin, was raised from the dead, and he's alive in heaven. That's the good news. Isn't that simple, y'all? It don't take a rocket science or a PhD to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, let's go preach the gospel in all the world, and he who believes and is baptized shall be what? What do you got to do to be saved? Believe and, Jesus said, be baptized. Well, let me tell you right now, if Jesus said that's what we ought to do, who am I to change the rules? I want to do what Jesus told me to do. I want to follow the recipe because I want the same results to come out. And so for us, this word baptism is a church word. It's the only place you've ever heard it. When you go to the bank to deposit your money, you don't say, yes, ma'am, I'd like to baptize $158.17 into my account, please. Teachers don't say to their students, all right, y'all, today I'm going to baptize you into some information on photosynthesis, right? Your mechanic doesn't say, well, you had a problem in your flywheel bearing and I had to baptize it. It's not a word we hear anywhere but in church, but you got to understand when the Bible was written, it was written in Greek, and the hearers who are hearing these things, they didn't hear it like we do because we think baptism, we think, oh, church. We think getting dipped for Jesus. Well, that's not what they heard at all. And so there's three things baptism meant to them. It's the Greek word baptizo. And the first one is very simply this, to dip. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, got dip? Some of you ladies say, my husband knows all about dip. Don't raise your hand and say amen today, okay? It means to dip. It literally means to immerse. Now, I love eating Oreo cookies, but I don't eat them dry. I like to dip them. I like to baptize my Oreos. Are there any dippers in the house? Oh, praise God. We got a bunch of dips at Victory. Okay, but here's what they would hear. They heard it like this. It was a word they used in connection to changing the color of fabric by taking a fabric and by plunging it into a container full of dye, a liquid. So maybe that went in white, but it came out indigo blue, or it went in white and it came out purple, or went in white and it came out red. And so they understood this, that being baptized meant a change. Somebody say change. And so for us, the number one proof that Jesus Christ is among us is not just people raising their hands or shedding a tear, praying a prayer, or getting baptized in water. The number one proof that Jesus is working in our life is that people are being changed. And I thank God that we are not the same, but we're changed. And we're not better than somebody else. We're better than we used to be. Can you give God praise for his changing power? And so it would go in one way, but it would come out another. Now, I love biscuits. And I like Deb, I like to baptize my biscuits in gravy. Hallelujah. And if it's got sausage in it, it's even better. And my biscuits go in one way, but they come out another. No pun intended. Y'all know what I'm saying. You smell what I'm stepping in. I love to baptize my biscuits. I like to eat them that way. They come out changed. Well, you know what? When we are baptized into Christ, our lives are changed. When we come to the cross and we're washed in the blood of Jesus that he shed for us, we're totally changed from the inside out. And here's what I want to say, because I think the church has gone too far the other way in saying that this is nothing more than just an act. It's kind of putting on a play. It's an initiation act that represents what God's already done in us. And yes, that's true, but I want to show you again what the New Testament actually says, because it says something very special happens in us as believers whenever we get baptized. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, I'm going to read it from the Message. It says, so what do? Keep on sinning so that God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our own old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. That is what happened in baptism. That's what happened when? In baptism. In other words, when you get baptized, your spiritual address is changing. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind us. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. And that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus, like Marcia said today. And when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. And each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. And so we see that baptism plays a part in us leaving the old life of sin behind, which is what we've been talking about in The Struggle is Real. There's something else that happens in it too. Baptism plays an important part in cutting away our sinful nature. God literally performs a spiritual circumcision, and circumcision is the removal of flesh. And so remember, our flesh is our fallen nature. It's that part of you that still wants to go back and do bad things and sin against God and rebel. But here's what the Bible says in Colossians 2, 10 through 14. It says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ. If you have asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, you are complete right now. Amen? Come on, somebody say, Jesus, you complete me. Okay? Who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Thank God for that. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Thank God for that. And he canceled the record of charges against us, and he took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Can you give God thanks that it's gone? So baptism means to dip. Are there any dips in the house? The second thing it means is it means to overwhelm. If a ship was to sink back then, they would say it was baptizo. Not only was it on the water, but now it was in the water, and the water was in the ship. And I love that because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, if anyone is in Christ, somebody say in Christ. See, again, when a ship sinks, it's not on the water anymore, but now it's in the water, and the water is in the ship. When I get baptized, I'm not only in Christ, but he's in me. And it's a picture of that. And so at Victory Church, we believe the Bible teaches water baptism by immersion. We don't sprinkle, we don't dot foreheads, we don't just wash over you, we immerse you into water. And here's why, because the Bible says that Jesus himself was baptized in water. He waded out into the Jordan River with his cousin John the Baptist, and there John the Baptist lowered him into the water and brought him out. I highly doubt Jesus waded out into this river so that John could dip his fingers in the water and poof. He dipped him in the water because the Bible actually says when Jesus came up out of the water, which means he was in it, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended in bodily form like a dove, not as a dove, and rested upon him. And there was a voice from heaven. It was the voice of his Father and your Father. And here's what God the Father said. He said, this is my beloved Son, and today I'm so pleased with him. I'm so happy with him. And so today we're here for you guys because this is God's I'm happy with you moment. This is God's attaboy moment, attagirl moment. And so we're here to celebrate your decision to follow Jesus because that's what the Father's doing. That's what the angels are doing. Come on, let's practice right now one time, celebrating their decision. Yeah. And so we want something that shows a picture of what we want Jesus to do. I don't want just a little dabble, do you? I don't want to be sprinkled. I don't want to be saved in spots. I want to be saved from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I want to be immersed in Jesus. Oh, come on, Jesus, put me, immerse me into your joy. Immerse me into your peace. Immerse me into your love. Immerse me into your purpose for my life. Immerse me into your grace and into your destiny and into the blood of Jesus Christ. Immerse me in the fire and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Immerse me, God, into my gifts. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And that's why I love baptism, because it's a picture. I want to be soaked. I want to be drenched. I want to be dripping. And when they get out, it gets on everybody around them. That's what God's called us to do. Hallelujah. And so baptizo means, number one, to dip. Are there any dips in the house? And number two, it means to overwhelm. And number three, it means to wash clean by water. Now, how many of you have had a bath this week? They understood baptizo in those terms, all right? So a mom would say to her five-year-old child, she would say, "Son, have you baptizoed today?" Before everybody comes to the supper, she'd say to her husband with his grubby hands, "You better get in there and baptizo those dirty, grubby hands." It's to wash clean by using water. Well, I love that, because watch what happens. The Bible says in Acts 22:16, "What are you waiting for? Get up." Look at your neighbor and tell him, "Get up." Look at your other neighbor and tell them, "Be baptized." Be baptizo. Be washed clean. Have your sins washed away. Here's how: by calling on the name of the Lord. Now, John shocked this water. I thought that might be a good procedure to take and precaution for y'all. But I'm going to tell you right now, this water will not wash your sin away. The blood of Jesus will. Amen? So I can dip you till you drown, but unless you called on the name of the Lord, it's not going to do anything on the inside, okay? And some of y'all, I might hold on to a little extra just to make sure we got it. You'll be calling on the name of the Lord by the time you come up, I promise you. Just kidding, just kidding. We've never lost anybody in all the years of baptizing people. Good news. And here's what the Bible says. That baptism plays a part in cleansing our conscience. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, "The souls of those who long before in the days of Noah," somebody say Noah. What was Noah known for? A flood. And what did he build? An ark. So God washed the sinfulness of earth away and saved them with an ark. He said, "In the days of Noah had been disobedient, when God's patience waited during the building of the ark, in which a few people, actually eight in number, were saved through what? Through water." Watch this. "And baptism, which is a figure," in other words, a picture, "of their deliverance, does now also save you from," not save your soul, but watch what it saves. "Saves you from inward questionings and fears. Not by the removing of outward bodily filth by bathing, but by providing you," baptism provides you, "with the answer of a good and a clear conscience, your inward cleanness and peace before God. Because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It's through the resurrection of Jesus that all of this and any of this is made possible in our life. And so let me finish by saying this. What do I need to do to be baptized? I'm going to ask Miss Mandy if she would join me on the platform. What do I need to do to be baptized, you guys? Well, it's very simple, and we've gone over this with many, many of you. But number one, it's really easy. It's not, I have to go to church X number of Sundays. I have to read the entire New Testament first. I have to get living right, perfect, for so many days before I can be baptized. Number one, you've got to believe. Everybody say believe. That's simple. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," what? "Believes in him," are any believers here today, okay, "shall not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 10, verse 9 through 11 says it like this, and I want you to listen for how many times the word "believe" is in this passage. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Well, how many of you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead? It says, "You will be," what? "Saved. For with the heart one," what? "Believes unto righteousness or right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And so all we have to do is believe. Somebody say, I believe. Number two, you've got to repent. And to repent means to turn away from one thing and to turn towards another. It's literally a change that comes by thinking differently. Well, how long does it take for you to think, change your mind about something? That long? See, some people think repentance is this massive process, and certainly it is something that we do for the rest of our lives following Jesus. We're turning away from the old, turning towards Jesus. Every day, I've got a decision. Do I go back to the old or do I follow Jesus? And I make a choice every day to follow him, not because I have to, not so I don't go to hell, but because I want to and because he's loved me so much. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of what? Sins. And you shall receive the gift of, thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're thankful that he's here with us and living in us, would you give God praise for the Holy Spirit today? It's amazing. And so repentance means to change my mind. It's a change of direction that comes from changing my mind. Doesn't mean I've got it all together yet. Doesn't mean I'm perfect yet. But it means I'm moving in the direction of God, which means he is perfecting me one decision at a time. He is perfecting me day by day. And I want to ask every person in this room to stand with me today, if you would. Because I believe there might be somebody here today that has never said, you know what? I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe he shed his blood for me, and I believe that 3 days later God raised him from the dead. And today I want to say with my mouth, Jesus, you're Lord in my life. I want to turn to Jesus and turn away from doing life my way and trying to do it myself. And maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I've come to church my whole life, but I've never done that. I've never been born again. Or maybe you've never been to church and today's your first time and you see how easy it is. And today you see how much God loves you and that you need him. He's the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. And so I want to ask that every person in the room would bow their head and close their eyes. And I want to ask you, have you taken that step? Have you asked Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life? You say, Josh, why do I need a Savior? I'm going to tell you very simply, because we're drowning in our own sin. Nobody's better and nobody's worse. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's best. And just like a person drowning in a river, they can't do anything to help themselves. The more they try, the more they sink. And Jesus jumped into the waters of sin for us and he drags us out. And if you're here today and you say, Josh, I need Jesus. And today, I believe in my heart, but I want to open my mouth and say it out loud. I want to declare Jesus as Lord. I want to begin a brand new life. I want to take that step. Maybe you're here and you walked with God at one time, but you've let life and sin creep in and crowd him out. Friend, he's never left you. Even if you've turned your heart away from him, I want to tell you right now, he loves you and his arms are open wide. He's as close as the whisper of Jesus' name. And I'm going to count to three, and if that either of those describe you, and today you say, Josh, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity, but I want to call on the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. All I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand. Everyone's heads are bowed. Everyone's eyes are closed. And I want to know who I'm praying with this morning. Josh, that's me. Here we go. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, raise your hand. One, two, three. Josh, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Is there someone else here today? Just raise it real high where I can see you.